Good afternoon, everyone. I have no disclosures to state, and I did want to thank the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Michael Reese Health Trust for making this program and this presentation possible. Our objectives today are really to describe our health education strategy in Chicago Public Schools, discuss our early implementation status and lessons learned, and state the extreme need to do this in other large urban districts across the country. Through some of our research, we found that not a single school district that is quite large is implementing comprehensive and coordinated health education. So I'm with the Office of Student Health and Wellness in Chicago Public Schools. Our office is about 3 years old, so we're a little tiny baby in the big CPS school system. But we have been doing quite a bit in these 3 years that we've been within CPS, mainly to meet our mission and vision. So our mission is really to remove health-related barriers to learning so that all CPS students may succeed in college, career, and life. And really our vision is to create a healthy CPS or a healthy Chicago Public Schools that serves as a benchmark for national school districts across the country. So what is healthy CPS? I'm not sure if some of you have heard of Mayor Rahm Emanuel's Healthy Chicago Agenda, but it is a plan for the city of Chicago to become healthy in the next several years. And a large component of that agenda is Healthy CPS, or Healthy Chicago Public Schools, which involves the Chicago Public Schools School District and over 400,000 CPS students. So this initiative is being led by our office in CPS, and it really describes the work of our department. Which is mainly to increase school capacity at the school level to ensure that they can provide quality health services to students and also ensure a healthy school environment, meaning the health and wellness components of the school. We do that through 5 main goals. We do that through implementing and passing health and wellness policies at the district level, having partnerships with mobile health providers and food and fitness partners, providing health services, providing school supports, technical assistance, resources, financial support, and also health and wellness promotion. Our office is divided into 4 main work streams or components. We have the student health component, which is our school-based health centers, our dental providers and dental exams, overseeing mobile health providers, and our STI HIV prevention project. The health and physical education workstream, which is the workstream that I oversee, is our physical education policy implementation, as well as the comprehensive and coordinated health education project that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. Our student wellness workstream also has a dotted line into nutrition support services at CPS. So this person reports to both the Office of Student Health and Wellness Chief Health Officer, Dr. White, as well as Leslie Fowler, who's the Executive Director of Nutrition Support Services. And that's why you see the school food, the school garden component, and healthy food access under that work, as well as our Learn Well initiative, which is implementation of our wellness policies, and our food and fitness partners. And finally, vision and hearing, which is mainly our screenings and exams, and now some treatment with a collaboration with the University of Illinois Chicago for vision and hearing for students. So as I said, 400,000 students. I'm from Michigan, and I went to U of M, so that's 4 times the city of Ann Arbor. Or you could round up the big house about 4 times, and that'd be the size of our school district. We are the 3rd largest school district in the country with 658 schools. Nearly half of our students are overweight or obese. 87% are enrolled in Medicaid, so about 90% of our families are below the poverty line. So given all that, we are trying to implement a comprehensive and coordinated health education program in the district. Currently, right now, we know that health education at Chicago Public Schools is provided mainly in the classroom, primarily from physical education teachers, also as well as counselors and some special ed teachers. We know that it's provided before and after school through some of our partner organizations. And currently, we know that it's provided as a component of our physical education minutes. We recently passed a physical education policy in January of this year, which stated that schools, beginning this school year in August, had to start implementing physical education minutes to meet a daily requirement. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But as a part of that policy, 60 minutes per week of the 150 minutes required for physical education class can be carved out for health education. We know primarily right now health education occurs in 5th and 9th grades, and that's primarily due to the Illinois State Code requiring those grades to receive health education. We have a Health and Wellness Materials Review Committee that oversees our partner curriculum and reviews all of that curriculum before it goes into our schools and into the classroom. So any of that before and after school work that I talked about would be reviewed by our Materials Review Committee. And currently, our office has really focused on our sexual health implementation, physical education, and nutrition education. This is, we do a yearly school survey among our schools called our Healthy CPS School Survey. And so this is data from about 300 schools, 41 of them being high schools, that just ask these primary questions: does your school provide health education? Majority of them said yes. And how is it integrated into our school? You'll see the PE class or physical education class is primarily where it's happening. And you'll see about 93% happening in ninth grade, and that's because of the health PE1 component that happens in ninth grade. So we have three primary policies that were passed over the last 2 years that really are setting up this health education program in the district. Our first policy was our sexual health education policy. It was passed in February 2012. And the policy establishes that sexual health education be provided in all grades, K through 12. It requires a minimum teaching minutes. You'll see the grades broken out there, and topics to be covered for each grade. It requires schools to have at least 2 trained school staff to deliver the curriculum, and they only get access to that curriculum once they receive the training. CPS actually presented its own sexual health education curriculum rather than using a purchased curriculum. And the curriculum is aligned with the national sexual education standards. It's age appropriate, medically accurate, and emphasizes abstinence as a component of healthy sexual decision making. And schools have until the 15-16 school year to be compliant with this policy. Nutrition education was a component of our So it's like stranger danger, good touch, bad touch, age appropriate. Yeah. Nutrition education is a component of our local school wellness policy, which was passed in the fall of 2012, our Learn Well initiative. And so we require nutrition education K through 8, all grade levels. The middle schools, we don't have many middle schools in the CPS district. Most of our schools are elementary K through 8 or high school, 9 through 12. But those middle schools that we do have require 2 grade levels to provide nutrition education, and high schools, 2 courses required for graduation must be nutrition education. The policy also recommends that nutrition education is incorporated throughout the dining center, the classroom, and the school garden. We have over 200 school gardens right now in CPS that we're really trying to integrate that healthy learning, healthy growing component with nutrition education. And we conducted a pilot in 25 schools last school year around incorporating this K through 8, all grade levels nutrition education, and we found varying results. Some schools did it with fidelity and did an excellent job in implementing in every single grade. Some schools could only do it in a couple grades. So we're really trying to see which components of that pilot project from our 25 schools are the nuggets that we want to take out, so that we can use that when we're implementing health education as well. And as I said, our physical education policy was passed this past January. It requires elementary schools to provide daily physical education for all students, so that's 150 minutes per week. They do have a few years to meet that 150 minutes, so this school year they must meet 90 minutes a week, next school year 120 minutes per week, and then the 16-17 school year is 150 minutes per week. High schools must schedule all students in all grades 9 through 12 into daily physical education, and that happened right with the start of this school year. We're happy to say we have 80% of our 11th and 12th graders enrolled in a physical education course, so that's excellent, considering that they had about a few months to implement this policy. Health education can be counted for up to 60 minutes of the physical education minutes per week. So this is a really nice little target area that we can start to incorporate health education programming. And our PE curriculum is really meant to maximize moderate to vigorous physical activity and must be directed by a certified physical education teacher. We also want PE provided in a designated space. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Chicago Public Schools or a school in our district, but some of our schools do not have gymnasiums, do not have adequate space to provide PE, so we provide professional development to our teachers around conducting PE in non-traditional spaces like hallways and little side rooms that you might have to store things, for example, in a school. So we've tried to accommodate our schools in that way. Schools also created their PE action plans this past summer and submitted those in July to our office. And our two PE coordinators that are focusing on the elementary and high school level have used those action plans to kind of direct implementation of the policy and direct their services and technical assistance to those schools that need it the most. So our strategy so far. First, we have created a health education advisory committee made up of about 15 members from the city of Chicago, some of whom are PE teacher educators, so they actually teach physical educators in universities across the state of Illinois. Some are health education educators teaching folks who are in health education or health education teachers. We also have several teachers within the CPS school district on our health education advisory committee and some community member organizations that provide services to our schools, such as chronic disease management or asthma management in some of our schools and things of that nature so that they can be brought into the health education fold. Our main purpose for this committee is to really complete our strategic plan, which we are almost finalized with and will be published very soon, to attend quarterly meetings and then to help us implement this plan that we have designed. Our strategic plan goals are really derived around these four main categories, meaning that instruction, we want every student to receive high quality health education instruction that is aligned with Common Core and national standards for a minimum of 60 minutes per week. We want every CPS student to receive health education instruction led by a teacher trained in health education who demonstrates leadership in school wellness. We want resources dedicated to health education, meaning that they have a quality health education program that is supported by stakeholders. And we want accountability for health education, meaning that, you know, student grades reflect health education, principal assessments reflect health education, and teacher assessments also reflect health education. This is our timeline for implementation of the program. So as I stated, we had several policies passed over the last couple of years that helped to drive this work and this initiative. We also received funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention through the Community Transformation Grant Program that helped launch this work. We conducted the HECAT on the healthteacher.com curriculum, which is the health education curriculum we're using currently to assess that. And the funding from the Microbes Health Trust has really helped us to drive the work of the development of the strategic plan. Once the plan is completed, which should be in the next couple of weeks, we will begin a scope and sequence process with our committee and we'll engage several departments across the district, mainly our social-emotional learning department and social-emotional wellness, our nutrition support services department, and a few other departments and agencies to ensure that we're creating that scope and sequence that is aligned with every grade. We also are going to look at our curriculum, look at our results from the HECAT. We have the opportunity with healthteacher.com to incorporate lessons and additional curriculum into that online tool where we see that there are gaps. So we'll begin to do that. And then we'll start to recruit our pilot schools to conduct this comprehensive and coordinated pilot in their schools at the end of next school year so that they can begin the process at the beginning of school year 15-16. So as I said, we're going to conduct this pilot project similar to what we did with our nutrition education schools. And the unique aspect of this is that we want to connect our health services to the promotion in health education. So we have all these dental providers, for example, going out, some of them in mobile vans, and conducting dental screenings for some of our children. We want to ensure that children know how to conduct oral hygiene before they come get a visit from the dentist and know what that means and know what it means to be brushing and taking care of your teeth, for example. So that's just one item that we're trying to connect. We also have other mobile providers going out and conducting immunizations at the beginning of the school year. We want to make sure that we're connecting that nutrition education from the garden to your plate to your mouth, and just making sure that everything is all cohesive. And so these are just some examples of lessons or topics that we would want schools to engage in as the school year progresses. So in the fall, we want to, for example, ensure that we're conducting our immunizations for back to school, and when that Walgreens flu shot clinic comes around to your school, you actually get the flu immunization because you've learned about it as a part of your health education curriculum. Secondly, we want the connection to the fall harvest for nutrition education because that's a good connection to the garden and growing. In the winter, we want to ensure that we're talking about Heart Health Month and having physical activity connected to that, as well as just looking in the spring, making sure that we're connecting with social-emotional wellness and testing, and making sure that students, you know, aren't feeling the burdens of having to do all this testing that happens usually in March and April in CPS, and just making sure that they have a healthy mindset when they're going into those tests. So our goal for the pilot is really to recruit 15 to 20 schools to align with our strategic plan goals, to implement the scope and sequence process that we will complete in January and February with our Health Education Advisory Committee. We want them to utilize the healthteacher.com curriculum and give us pointers on what else they need. I mean, what other lessons would they need from that that's not there right now? And we also want to obtain lessons learned for full district-wide implementation. Our next steps are, again, to promote and implement our strategic plan, complete the scope and sequence process, recruit our schools for the pilot project, and implement that pilot at the beginning of next school year. And here's my information. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
I'm going to open the floor for any questions. Does anyone have any questions for Rachel?
So from Arizona, and this is like you're living the dream.
Yeah, I mean, I thank you for saying achievement. I don't think we've achieved anything yet, but we're getting there. I think that just the alignment of all the different, so we have the state policies, the Illinois school code that requires health education. It is very loosey-goosey in the language around who gets what when. It recommends that they get all of these components in all grades, but it doesn't actually state that our school policy, our district policies actually state they must have PE, they must have nutrition education, they must have sexual health education. So it was a combination, I think, of those two policies because schools don't do anything unless they're mandated to, number one. Number two, we're really trying to get the assessment piece, that accountability piece, included in those principal assessments. And we also have something that I didn't mention here. We also have a health indicator on our school's progress report, which is a public document that you can go onto the CPS website and look up a school. And that has really driven a lot of our work around the wellness policies because that indicator right now talks about being healthy school certified, which is wellness work and really aligned with the USDA's Healthier U.S. School Challenge. So a lot of the principals want the green apple on their report. They don't want the stop sign. So that indicator has really drove a lot of the work around wellness, and so we are thinking right now as an office to switch that indicator to be more comprehensive of healthy CPS. So that's something that we're in talks to do with the start of next school year, so that would also help to incorporate some of this health education work that's not being reflected right now. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. student health work stream. That manager oversees the work of the school-based health centers, and I believe 16 of the school-based health centers are offering STD testing as a collaboration with the Chicago Department of Public Health. Not all of them offer it blanket-wide, though. And there are free condoms available in high schools. STD testing? I'm not sure exactly which STD. I know they don't test for HIV, but they do test for common STDs. We are the number one and number two in the country in Cook County for chlamydia and gonorrhea. So I know they test for those. So meaning which components of health education? So we're looking at the broad array. So we're looking at community health, mental health, oral health and hygiene, sexual health, nutrition education, physical activity. We're looking at all of those components to incorporate that into a program. But it really would come from the work of our schools. Once we get this pilot project happening in our schools, we're going to see where schools can, you know, meet and where they can. So. Thank you.